It is time for the CB Sports Network Rewind Show this morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, at KCIM. Casey Miners, Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon with you guys in studio this morning for a Tuesday edition of Rewind, as we have got Kate Vondrek from Esat County, a former Esat County girl, going to join us this morning and talk about her volleyball career, playing in college and playing at Esat a little bit. And Jeff, you can speak on it because I know me and you have both gotten to watch her play. One of the girls, one of the few girls from the area that whatever you needed to do, she was going to do.
Yeah, just a great player. Loved the game, put a ton of work into it, and was very good in every single aspect of the game, and coachable, and all of those things that you want every athlete to be in. And that was what summed up Kate Vondrek. And we're going to bring her on right now. Kate, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
We are doing well. You just wrapped up, your career, I think, at Gillette College. How fun was that these last 2 years?
It was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. I loved it out in Wyoming and traveling all over Wyoming and the western states. It was a lot of fun and cool to see.
Now, if I remember correctly, Gillette was just starting that program, and you were a part of that kind of initial recruiting class. Talk about that experience, because I know I interviewed you before you went out, but what was that experience like once you got there?
It was definitely different. Coming in, it was only the second year that it started, so I knew coming in that it'd be a good program to start up and make a difference at. So that was, cool to kind of start something. And this past year, first season was the first time that they made it to regionals, the regional tournament. So that was fun, just kind of being the start of it all.
Kate, I got a question for you. In your high school days, they had you playing all over the court. You set a little bit, you would hit, you'd play back row. How do you think that helped you, in college? And when you were get to Gillette, were you kind of that person that still played all over? Or did they have you more focus on being a hitter or a setter or something like that?
My first year, I was more on the pin, so I was, right side and outside. Which, being in high school and playing all different positions, definitely helped me a lot. And then my second year, I was on the right side for the whole year. And then for spring ball, I actually set a little bit because both of our setters were gone. They left. So, yeah, it was good. It's good to have all the different, the versatility and the experience everywhere.
You mentioned here a moment ago, Kate, that they made the regionals. To be able to do that in year three of a program and year two for you, how were you and the girls able to get this thing established so quickly to be able to have that kind of success?
Our sophomore class, my class, we were very close and worked together on everything, and we knew what we wanted, and we knew we wanted to make it. And the Region 9 is one of the toughest conferences at that level. So we knew we just had to come together. And, we had a new coach the second year, so buy into his program, buy into all the freshmen that were coming, and really lead and show them what we wanted and where we wanted to go. And it all it worked out in our favor.
You mentioned you get a new coach. Had it been somebody that was there, because I have to hate to ask it this way, but, in today's world, a lot of times if the coach changes, everybody leaves and goes somewhere else. You said your class was so close, it sounds like everybody kind of stayed with the new coach and stuff. Were you guys familiar with them ahead of time?
Yep. So my first year coach, she left spring season of last year. And then so we kind of had Zoom calls and interviews with our new coach of this year. And all of us sophomores got in on the Zoom call and could talk to them and have conversations with them. And so we all decided to stay. All the freshmen decided to stay, the incoming freshmen. And, yeah, it was good. It was a good season.
With it only being a JUCO out there in a couple years with that program, do you have another year out there, or kind of what's the next moves for you coming up in that future?
Nope, I am done out there. I transferred to the College of St. Mary's in Omaha to continue playing volleyball and continue my education with kinesiology and exercise science.
Talk about that decision to come back home after you said you kind of loved it out west there. And was that kind of the original plan for you, you know, anyway, was to come back there?
No, I wouldn't say that was the original plan. I kind of was just looking out, and I know for, like, my parents and everything, they traveled every game. And for my grandparents, it's just these last 2 years, it'll be nice to be closer to home. And Omaha, the school is a great school. When I first visited there, it was kind of like Wyoming. Like, I just knew I wanted to go there. And I love the coaching staff and everyone that was there, like, on the administration side.
Kate, you mentioned that you loved it out there. We'll talk St. Mary's again here a little bit later on, but you loved it out west. You know, coming from the Midwest in a small town in the Midwest, what was it like moving out there? You were out there really all by yourself at the beginning. You had to make new friends and meet all new people. So what was that whole move like, and how quickly did you transition?
It was definitely different. It's scary going out there and not knowing a single person. But the first year I was out there, the sophomores, there was three sophomores that returned, and they were, like, super, you could go up to them and talk to them about anything. And the first year we had there, we had to spend our preseason over at Black Hills. So, and we didn't have, like, vehicles or anything, so all we could do was really talk to each other and, like, do team bonding. So that made us, like, we were a very, very close team my freshman year, which also made it, like, really easy to get close with all the freshmen, like, my age. And then it just grew from there, and then never really, like, we were just always together throughout the season and throughout the whole year, even when we weren't playing volleyball. We were all still together.
Kate, we talked to girls that have, or guys that have went and played, you know, college sports and stuff like that. What was your big, you know, moment when you got out there? Was it, you know, hitting the weight room harder or something like that that you, you know, felt like was one area you really needed to improve and helped you get better in your volleyball game playing in college?
Definitely lifting. That is a big thing that I think every athlete needs to do coming up, because once you get to college, they expect more from you. They push you a lot more. And the lifting just makes you so much stronger, and you can see it, like, improvements in how you play after you've been doing it for a while. And just the preseason work to it, too. Like, you have to do the work over the summer. Otherwise, when you go in there in preseason, it'll about kill you.
Kate, you mentioned the weight room, and we have, you know, I think every athlete at the mm-hmm. college level that we talk to says the weight room's kind of been, you know, really the biggest difference. You mentioned it here in your comment a moment ago that, you know, it's something that every athlete should do. What's the difference, really, that a college weight room does that maybe the high school kids, especially the ones that want to get into college athletics, what do they need to do differently at the high school level to maybe be more prepared?
I would say more, like, the mobility and stability, like, to not get your athletes hurt. Because a lot of times people just lift to lift, and they don't actually think before they lift. They need to know what they're doing and things like that, which is why I think college, going into college, they expect that you've already been lifting. So if you already don't know how to lift, and then you got to start at zero and build up, you're just going to be so behind in college. So you really have to know what you're doing, what the lifts are, how much you're supposed to lift, and, like, just what to do.
And so when you get to college there, do you have somebody that kind of guides you through the weight room and kind of nutritionist stuff like that when you were out there?
Yep. Yeah, we have a strength and conditioning coach and an athletic trainer and all that helps through everything.
Kate, I got to ask you on the flip side of that, you know, playing all over at ESAC County, you know, on the court, do you think that was a really good strength for you to help you see the floor when you kind of got in there in your freshman season?
Yes, for sure. Just being able to know the court and have the IQ that I do is from just playing so many different spots and playing for as long as I have. And it helps, especially in college, because it's a big step from high school to college. Of just the players, like, everyone's kind of on the same level as you. So it's a big step up of high school and just knowing where the ball's going and what to do with it and, like, the situational things.
Where were you most comfortable? Which position would you like to have maybe been able to focus on, or were you really okay with being kind of able to move everywhere, or do you like, man, I really wish I could have been a pin or a right side, you know, in my entire career, and that would have really helped maybe accomplish more than what you're able to being in different positions frequently?
No, I liked how I was all over because then that's good to coaches. Coaches want to see that because yep. they know they can throw you in there and they can play you wherever and they're confident in you and where you are.
Kate, let's talk about some of the places you mentioned. You got to play all over out west and especially there, of course, in Wyoming. What were some of your favorite places to travel to, maybe some of the most unique places maybe that you had to go to?
I would say Cheyenne was probably a big one. And Montana. Montana was fun. Rocky Mountain College is really pretty. And going out there and just in the west in the mountains. We went to Powell, which was, it's kind of near Cody and all those like tourist places. So we got to see some of those and drive through those, which is really cool because I've always wanted to go out there, but never could. So, yeah.
Kate, you mentioned that you really liked it out west there in Wyoming and stuff. Was it hard when you were making that decision to go play somewhere else to leave there and go to St. Mary's, or was it kind of an easy choice for you?
Yeah, it was at first because I've always said I want to be far away from home. So I was like kind of looking at schools over out west and down south. But once I got the text from the coach and I was like, I want to visit here. And then went on campus and everything. And it was just like, I don't want to visit anywhere else. Like, I want to go here.
Kate, what was it like? I'm sure you had been to Omaha before growing up, in the ESAC district there. I'm sure you had made that trip before, but my dad's side of the family is all from the Omaha area, so I know Omaha well and love the community. What was that first trip like when you went to visit St. Mary's?
It was kind of scary because it was over Christmas break, actually, and I wasn't sure yet if I still wanted to continue playing, but... Once I talked to the coach and he was like confident in me and everything, it's just like, it's where I wanted to be. And like the campus is awesome. It's so pretty. And like on the tour, the girl was amazing who was giving me the tour. And it just felt like everyone there, like really, like they want you to go there and they really like cared about your school and volleyball and everything that was into it.
Kate, we know that you're going to St. Mary's now, but what were some of the other schools you were really looking at, that drew some interest to you and stuff like that? And what ultimately was it that set it apart, in that decision to go to Omaha?
I had a school in Kentucky, Montana, and then Morningside. But I think St. Mary's, what drew that apart was the coaching staff, what they have to offer there, and definitely the schooling. They have a really good exercise science and kinesiology program, and then they have a graduate school right there for physical therapy in Omaha. So schooling was a big part of it, but I'd say the coaching staff and meeting them and seeing like what they have and what they want to do was the biggest thing.
Were they the ones, Kate, that made you decide you wanted to continue playing? You did say here a moment ago you weren't for sure if you wanted to continue. So was it the coaching staff, or what made you go, I still love this enough to want to be able to put all the time into it that you have to?
Yeah, it was definitely the coaching staff and my dad, actually, because he doesn't want me to stop. He kept begging me, just make a video, and I did. And yeah, now I'm here.
What's the future for you? What do you want to do when you're done at St. Mary's? You said before you wanted to move away. Do you want to come back home now? Do you want to kind of stay in the Omaha area? Or where do you want to end up in the future?
I'm not sure where I want to end up, but after these 2 years, I want to apply to graduate school for physical therapy and then go wherever... Like, I guess I get accepted and then hopefully travel for a while, travel around being a PT, and then just figure out where I want to go and what place I like best.
Nothing better than being young and having the freedom to just go and explore, right?
Exactly, yep.
So with your knowledge and love of the game of volleyball, is coaching something you want to do in the future, or is that not really fit the kind of what you enjoy with the sport of volleyball?
I do love coaching. I coach both years, a club team. It's just I don't have a lot of patience, so it's kind of a little difficult for me because I got to, like, slow down and I can't expect them to just do it. So it's definitely hard. I would love to coach. I loved it both years that I did, and, like, seeing the girls progress and seeing what they can do now. But, yeah, I don't really know on that one yet.
What age levels did you coach?
I coached 14s.
Okay. And that was out in Wyoming, or?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know if you had come back for the summers, or did you stay out there over the summers?
Nope, I came back for summers, so I was here.
Okay. What's this summer going
to be? During spring ball.
What's this summer's plans for you before you head off to St. Mary's?
I'm just working, babysitting, and working at the golf course and helping RPT with her classes. And then lifting 4 days a week, and then open gyms in Omaha on every Sunday.
So it sounds like you're kind of busy.
Yes. Yep.
Well, Kate, I tell you what, we appreciate it. Glad to get a chance to catch up. I popped onto the Gillette, you know, website every now and then and tried to follow how you were doing out there. So so happy to find out. I didn't know you were going to St. Mary's. That's going to be awesome. Best of luck there, and we appreciate you joining us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Again, that was Kate Vondrak, former East Sac County grad. Jeff, a girl that could play all over. I know I mentioned it multiple times, but I remember her first volleyball season. I got a cover for the radio station, and most of the times was the best player on the court and did anything that Coach Steiger wanted her to.
And I got to admit, you probably saw me throw the thumbs up here. I took a risk by asking her if she wanted to focus on one position or if she was happy kind of in college, even moving around and playing different positions. And I was hoping that she would say, I wanted to be versatile because college coaches are looking for that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be a great message for, you know, the young kids out there that are listening of don't pigeonhole yourself into one spot. It's going to make you more valuable to the team, going to probably earn you more playing time because you can help the team in many different ways. So when she said that she would prefer still playing kind of lots of different positions, that's, you know, I hate to say it, I tried to set up that answer, and I got the answer that I was hoping for. But, just a tremendous player and such a nice young lady, and so glad that things are going so well for her.
Yeah, and we will step away, take a break. We'll be back talking local sports next here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show on KCIM.
Get ready to party in Manning for Alumni Weekend and Party on the Bricks, June 18th through the 21st. Kick things off with Alumni Trivia Thursday at Poor Decisions, Community Tours, and the All-School Reunion Friday. Bring the whole family to Kinderfest and the 5K Road Race Saturday, then Party on the Bricks Saturday night featuring Chris Mulbauer and Decoy for ages 21 and over. Wrap up the weekend with a community breakfast Sunday at the House Barn. Reconnect with friends. Celebrate Manning and make new memories all weekend long. Find the full schedule on the Manning Area Partners Facebook page.
St. John Church and Carroll is hosting their community meal this Wednesday, serving from 5 to 6:30. The menu is the choice of a grilled brat or hot dog on a bun, baked beans, chips, and a brownie sundae. Again, the St. John Lutheran Church is hosting their June community meal this Wednesday from 5 to 6:30.
Looking for expert infusion care close to home? At Stewart Memorial, your comfort comes first. Relax in your own private room with offered amenities and know that our specialty trained staff is here for you. From chemotherapy and specialty infusions for your chronic conditions to hydration and IV antibiotics, we provide a full range of infusion and injection treatments in a calming, compassionate setting. Relax, heal, and feel confident with care that's always close. Learn more today at stewartmemorial.org.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on your classic hit station, Wells Western Iowa's information leader, 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. We'll talk spring sports season now that it's done with. Kemper girls wrapped up their soccer season. It was a terrific year.
Yeah.
A terrific year for the Kemper girls soccer team, but they saw their season come to an end last week down in Des Moines against DMC.
Yeah, the one thing that concerned, I think, me and a lot of us here, you know, and even maybe some of the players and coaches was, not that Kemper's not really, really good, because they were, and this was a special season, but the level of competition that Des Moines Christian faced all season long, playing a lot of those larger schools down there in the Des Moines metro area, I think it prepared them a little bit more for late in the postseason. You hear coaches talk about it. Sean Bergmeyer this year, Glidden softball coach, talked about it a lot. They are not playing a 1A school that's a non-conference game. So everybody in their non-conference is larger schools. And part of that was, is that, you know, and it's the same thing with Kemper soccer this year. They're really good, but playing elite competition on a regular basis prepares you for when you see elite competition late in the postseason. And not to say that Kemper's schedule wasn't strong, but I do think that Des Moines Christian, you know, being in a metropolitan area and being that size of a school, they just played bigger and better schools, and I think that had them more prepared. And that's not a knock on Kemper at all. That's just the way things played out, and I think they just ran into a team that was able to kind of contain their offense a little bit, which was not easy because Kemper's offense was just fantastic all season long. But they jumped out 4-0 in the first half and went on to pick up a 5-0 victory. So I'm sure disappointing for the Kemper girls to have their season end the way it did. But part of that was just, you know, the way the regionals fell and who they kind of got stuck with in that, you know, in that regional final.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not a lot of teams that can beat them. But when you look at the best teams in our area and in the smaller areas, that whether it's regardless of sport, you have to play better competition. You have to play some of the Des Moines schools. You got to play some of the Council Bluffs schools, the Sioux City schools. You got to find those big schools that want to come in and play you, because otherwise you play a lot of the schools around here and you see them all the time. But then you have to venture out in the postseason. You don't always get stuck with the teams around here. So then you get kind of caught off guard with a team that, you know, has played in the Des Moines schedules, the Sioux Cities, the Council Bluffs. So honestly, you kind of hit it on the head there. You have to go find better competition, whether that's playing up or playing teams that you know are ranked, or just kind of finding these different teams to be able to fit your schedule. And I think the Kemper girls soccer team did a little bit of that, but at the same time, they did, you know, with the Hawkeye 10 having some smaller schools, you have to play some of those smaller schools throughout the season.
And it's hard to, you know, if you're, you know, that's kind of my one frustration sometimes, you know, one of the two frustrations I have with metropolitan schools being able to play in a lower class, because one, they're picking from a bigger selection of kids to be able to participate, and two, if they're playing the bigger schools, then in those metropolitan areas, the type of competition they're seeing is better than what you're probably going to find on a consistent type of a basis. Not saying you can't have great programs, you know, and great teams in the smaller areas, in the smaller towns, but if you're playing, you know, 4A and 5A schools on a regular basis, that competition is going to better prepare you. And it's really difficult for a school that's 2.5 hours away from, you know, large metropolitan areas to be able to, you know, counter either one of those things. But, you know, you talk about the scheduling. I look at some of the best coaches that we have here in all of the sports, you know, and I'm just throwing out a few names here. So if I don't say somebody's name, it's not because I don't believe it that they do it too. I just didn't think of them. But, you know, I look at Brian Case from South Central Calhoun. A couple of times they went and played West Hancock when they were number one in a non-district. They don't duck anybody in non-district games. Sean Burks down at Audubon, they'll travel all the way over to Southeast Iowa to play somebody in a non-district game to make themselves better. You know, they went up to St. Mary's when they were number one in a regular season game. The Fremont Mills, you know, Tom Peterson, whether it be softball or basketball, you know, down there at Exiroc and Kimbleton, and now with Audubon with that mix as well. They challenge the kids during the regular season, and they're okay if they don't get the win, because it's not always just about W's. Sometimes that L is where you realize what you need to work on and where you need to get better in seeing that kind of competition. And like I said, Sean Bergmeyer said it this year, they've got a lot of freshmen, as you guys know, that are playing. So that team should be pretty darn good if they can keep everybody out, you know, and keep them all together. But, you know, they tend to get stuck with Newell Fonda, and I'm just going to throw that name out. A lot of our schools get stuck with the Newell Fondas of the world in the, you know, in a regional final and have a hard time getting past that game in a lot of sports. But if you look at what Newell Fonda does, they go play big teams. They play the really good teams. They challenge themselves, and if they get beat during the regular season, they don't worry about it because it prepares them more
for the
postseason. And I think you're seeing, you know, you see some of our coaches do that. And I know for Glidden softball this year, I had a parent say to me yesterday, and I don't want to say the name because I don't want to throw them out there. They're like, our schedule could make us about a 500 regular season team, but it should make them better prepared
for the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know Coach Bergmeyer over there, I did their playoff game against Woodbine, and he goes, we played Woodbine twice this year, and we played Xyro, Alcorn, Kimbleton, but outside of those three games, there was nothing, you know, that really made them look and see a Charlie Pryor, a yep. Riley Miller, a type of girl like that that they're going to see in the circle in the postseason. So I think that's where a lot of that sparks. But you kind of hit it on the head with, you know, Xyra softball this year. You look at last night, you lose to a Missouri Valley team, you lose to a Loma team this season already, you battle with the Riversides, the Atlantics. You might lose to those teams, and you might end up with 5, 6, 7 losses. But if you look at them, they're all 2A, and they're all ranked within the top 15. So it's like, you know, you trade having wins and you trade perfect seasons for we're better prepared and maybe have a chance to make another state title game with the way that they look.
Yeah, and John Waddle, another one I just thought of that I told everybody, I'm just pulling names out. There's probably nobody that schedules on a regular basis tougher games. They win most of them because they're always that good and he's that good. But they want to see a certain level of pitching and they want to see elite pitching and you go out and schedule big teams and better teams and really tough competition. And, you know, if you win, you win. I laugh because, you know, I'm just that guy that I want my teams to win every game and I feel bad when they don't win. Coaches, you know, they're okay with it because they know they're challenging themselves. But I know Tom Peterson sent me a text last night, you know, after the game, because I texted and said, how'd you do? And he's like, lost 5-3, gave a couple of runs in the seventh. And I'm like, sorry. And he sends back this LOL text like he's laughing that I'm sorry, you know, and stuff, because for him, it wasn't about that they lost. It was now we know where we need to get better. And it was that learning experience that he's taking away from it as a coach. Yeah. As the radio guy, I'm sitting here going, oh, man, one of my local teams lost. That just bums me out. So,
can I talk about how fun it was also this weekend with you talk about scheduling and making yourself better? You bring in the number one team in 2A, and I look down at my phone. I'm in the western part of the United States of America, and I'm like, number one team in 2A plays the number three team in 1A. Let's see how this goes. And I look at our Instagram story and see Coon Rapids Barrett Shocks number one team, and I'm like, that's one way to say that you're legit is to schedule the number one team a class ahead of you and go beat them on your own field.
Yeah, the defending champions and the no quit that Coon showed on over the weekend. They're down 7-2 to the defending 2A champions, the number one ranked team in 2A this year, a team that had really kind of dominated everybody on the hill, and they go put a 7 spot on the hill. And an eighth grader in Merrick Marsh comes up with the big hit in the top of the seventh inning to give them the lead. And I talked to John Waddle yesterday in our weekly interview, and I'm like, you know, was he nervous? And he goes, yeah, I think so. But he swung at the first pitch because it was there, and he did what he needed to do and got the base hit. But that's kind of what they do down there. Even the young kids, the moment doesn't seem to be too big. And I think that's another thing that you learn by playing really good competition. So, yeah, that's a huge win. I will also say this. Coon needs to play with that kind of focus and that kind of level every game. I'm not trying to be hard on Boyer Valley. I went to Dow City year-end, graduated before they combined, but my hometown's a part of that school district, and they're a good baseball team. But Coon Friday night was not focused the way they needed to be, and you could tell that Coach Waddle kind of said that in the postgame, and they nearly lost.
You think they were looking ahead?
Yes. And if they're a team that's got a legit chance to make some really good noise at the state tournament, but there's a certain level that you need to play at night in and night out, and you can't look past or expect an easy victory, you know, against the teams that you don't feel there to be that championship level. You have to play at that championship level on an everyday basis. And I'm hoping that the Friday into the Saturday thing for Coon kind of made them realize that there's a certain level that we have to be at all the time.
And we haven't talked about it much, you know, with spring still going on, but summer season full effect now, and, you know, you've got Xyra playing good softball. They, over the weekend, picked up a big win, too, over Atlantic, ranked team in Class 3A. You know, Atlantic's looked really good to start the season.
And Atlantic's always good. They always have good pitching. They always have some kids that can thump the ball. So that's a huge, huge win. It also tells you how good the WIC is and stuff. Everybody, and I'm not trying to be hard on the Hawkeye 10 here, but in this part of our state, everybody talks about the Hawk 10, and then, of course, with Carroll, the Raccoon River.
The WIC is underrated in so many sports every single year that Exirocrin Kimbolden goes down and wins at Atlantic, a ranked 3A school and a good program in that Hawkeye 10. But their two losses have come to schools in the WIC, in Loma and last night to Missouri Valley. Absolutely.
Loma's number 3 and Missouri Valley's number 13, both of them in Class 2A.
And Loma wasn't ranked until they knocked off Exirocrin Kimbolden, and then they jumped all the way up. So that's that lack of respect that the WIC has that they shouldn't have, because volleyball, basketball, you know, softball, and then some of the, you know, basketball on the men's and the girls' side. There's some really, really good teams all the time in that conference. And I'm just saying that I think that conference deserves a little more respect. The only problem is our two schools in that conference are going to be leaving and stuff. So won't get a chance to cover some of those really good programs out of the WIC in the future. But that conference, highly underrated.
Yeah, and I think I was talking to Mason about this before we got on the air today, and I said, you know, looking at Exirocrin Kimbolden Ottoman, they could have, you know, 5-6 losses come towards the end of the year. All of them could be to ranked teams a class ahead of them.
Yes. And
so let's hope the association notices that and it doesn't hurt them in the long run.
I would hope that the union pays attention and doesn't drop them too far if that happens. I will just say this. If I'm a 1A school, that's probably not a team that I want in my bracket.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have just the conference schedule alone is going to challenge them. And then we talked about the fact that Tom's going to go out and schedule as many great programs as what he can in the non-conference. They are going to be so ready for postseason. And they hit the ball. They field the ball pretty well. That might be the one area where they can get a little bit better is in the fielding aspect of things right now.
And I tell you what, you really got to pick your poison in this area if you're a 1A softball team, because you either go north and you find Noah Fonder, or you go south and you find Exirocrin Kimbolden. So, and that's, again, we go back to scheduling harder teams. If you're a not top-ranked team in 1A and you're going to go in the postseason, you have to schedule teams that probably look like Noah Fonda or look like Exirocrin Kimbolden, or you have to play them in the regular season, because at the end of the day, to go to state, you're probably going to have to run into a team that's either similar to that or one of those two teams.
And I know Glidden Ralston hoping to get into that same conversation, you know, with that group. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, if they can keep that group, that's the one thing that's scary about high school sports is that a lot of times you see,
especially summer sports, you see
loaded classes. And then as they go through, you start to see kids drop off. And all of a sudden, by the time they're seniors, there's not many of them left. I don't think that's going to be the case over there with that group of freshmen at Glidden. And not that they don't have other kids that are helping out. But I think last night, 7 of the 9 starters were freshmen, or 6 of the 9 starters were freshmen. So and there's other freshman kids that, you know, could be starters, but they're behind the upperclassmen right now. So hopefully they stay with it, and they could become, you know, with this group, maybe one of those teams that not everybody wants to see come postseason time. So
We will step away. We'll take a break. We'll talk some more high school sports when we come back here. You're listening to The Rewind Show on KCIM.
Looking for a rewarding way to make a difference? Hamburg Catholic School is hiring bus drivers. We're currently seeking a PM route driver, substitute route drivers, and activity trip drivers. Bus drivers play a vital role in safely transporting students to and from school, activities, and events throughout our area. Whether you're looking for a regular route or occasional driving opportunities, we'd love to hear from you. For more information or to apply, call Kemper Catholic School at 712-792-3313 and ask for Katie Reesberg, or visit kemper.org. Join the team and help keep this valuable service available to our students and families.
Ladies and gentlemen, new wellness technology has arrived at Highway 30 Health in Glidden. Introducing the Amcella Chair, designed to support intimate wellness and strengthen your pelvic floor and core. Join us Thursday, June 18th at 11:30 or 1 p.m. for a special open house.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you here on KCIM. Casey Miners, Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon with you in the studio talking high school sports. And we hit a little bit on some of the baseball and softball teams that are playing pretty good right now. You know, Coon, Exira, you know, respectively for baseball and softball. Kemper off to a really good start for baseball this year. I'm not shocked at it, but I think people around the area with – how much, you know, non-starting experience that Kemper was bringing back this year. They lost some pretty good kids off their team from a year ago. I would say some pleasant surprises over there, you know, that at Kemper playing baseball right now, but off to a terrific start and pitching really well.
Yeah, I think 12-2 now on the season, if I remember correct, after those two wins over Red Oak last night. They're pitching extremely well. They've got some kids swinging the bat well. And they do what Kemper seems to always do. The defense may be not great on a consistent basis early. I know when I did their game last week, I think it was Coach Bach was, you know, disappointed with the amount of errors that they had, especially early in the game. But I kind of jokingly said, even though I felt like there was some truth to it, it's like that's kind of what Kemper does. They go out early in the year and they have about 3 to 5 errors in a lot of games, but they find ways late to win those games. And then as you see, as the season goes on, the amount of errors per game starts to dwindle, and then they become really scary because they're continuing to pitch well. They're hitting maybe better this year than what they have, you know, in a few years. But as that defense continues to grow, they're just going to get better and better. One of their losses was to an outstanding Lewis Central team that's playing, 4A this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they challenge themselves, too. They're another one of those teams that goes out and isn't afraid to, you know, schedule really good competition in the non-conference. But, you know, I would say that, you know, Riley Bach and that coaching staff have really done a very magical job with this team this year, because like you said, just because of the lack of experience from some of the guys, Nash Leonard right now has been huge for them, and you know, his power and his average and what he is doing, and then he plays a good first base. That's a team. Noah Ryman out at second base, and you know, you got Landon Potabom and Thomas Potabom, and yeah, that's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I think their two losses are to Lewis Central and Harlan, which are both really good historic teams.
Yes.
You know, out of the Hawkeye 10 and stuff like that. So, you know, to your two losses to be to teams that are traditionally powers in their respective classes, I think speaks a lot. And, you know, picking up two wins yesterday over Red Oak and pitching really good in one game, and then one game the bats came alive and got enough runs to outscore Red Oak and pick up a win. I think there's not, you know, maybe besides Kuhn in the area, a team that's playing, you know, much better baseball than Kemper.
I would say right now that they either are our best or second best baseball team, and you would probably have to give the edge right now to Kuhn and stuff. But Kemper kind of nipping at their heels, you know, with
which play next week.
They will, and looking forward to that one. Yeah, so it actually, and Kuhn's going to be up here again this weekend as they're at the Carroll tournament. They don't get Carroll in the opener. They'll get Sadell, and Carroll will play Maple Valley, Anthonota, Charter Oak, Ute on Saturday morning to start that tournament. But you know, hopefully they both earn wins in their opening round game, and we get a Coon Rapids Baird Carroll High, you know, championship game.
And I tell you what, that Coon Sadell game, I don't know if you're going to it or not, but if I were you, I'd go to it, because Sadell's got probably one of the best players in this part of the state.
They've got a kid.
He hits. Yep. I tell you what, he hits bombs. I watch him. I watch some of the games that they have, kind of some of the highlights they put together. That kid can hit the ball very far.
They've got one of the best pitchers in the state and one of the best hitters in the state. This the Jorgensen kid Cam Joy. Oh my gosh, I think he's got 8 home runs and he's got only like 10, 11 hits on the year. And
I think he struck out
like 40 times. No.
But I think there was one game this year he went like 3-for-3 with 3 home runs. It was like second game of the year he went 3-for-3 with 3 homers, and they posted it, and I'm watching his homers, and it's not like he hits a nice little over the fence. He takes a bomb over the fence, and I'm like, putting him and Cal Hayden in Merchants Park, if you're in the softball pitch or in the slow pitch fields, there's a good chance you're probably getting rained on.
I think that, and another, you know, good, I know Kuhn didn't schedule it, but another good opponent for Kuhn to see is Sadell was a state tournament team a season ago.
Yep.
And they're ranked, I think, depending on what rankings you look like, but ranked in Class 3A.
Right, and this is the exact same matchups as the first round a year ago at that tournament. So, yeah, not surprised. And yes, Mason, I was planning on being at the tournament this weekend. So, yes. Yeah. So, I we'll see what else I've got going on. I may not be able to sit there for every pitch like I was when I was younger, because now I have other things that I have to deal with as you get older in life. But, planning on being there. And really looking forward to that matchup. Yeah. So,
speaking of who you guys are out all the time doing all the baseball and softball stuff, and Nick is too. Who are some of the other teams that are kind of standing out and players standing out early portion of the season as we kind of get into the full swing of things here in the summer season?
I covered Audubon last night for the first time, and I know Nick covered them as well. But the two Miller boys down there, for being eighth graders and watching them play, I was up in the booth with Randy Spies, and he was kind of just watching, and he kind of said it best. He's like, they walk and they act like eighth graders off the field, but the second they step onto the dirt, it's like they've been there before and they've done it. And I was like, well, when your sister's a standout pitcher for softball and your dad was a baseball player in college, I'm like, you probably grew up around this sport a ton. And so to see them now pitch and catch and kind of do all that, and I got a joke with Dawson after the game because I think they started with Dalton on the mound and Dawson was catching. And then in the seventh inning, Dawson went to the mound and Dalton went to catch. And I go, is that just kind of the dynamic you guys have, is just whatever position the other one's playing, you guys just flip it after? But they look very solid. So I think for those two, they're going to have a really great career down at Auden.
I think we got to ask him a question on who's the better pitcher. Do you think Riley could strike him out, or do you think they strike Riley out?
I think it would depend on the sport. I think if the two brothers tried to hit Riley in softball, that they would struggle. And then I would think it would probably be the same way, because I still go back to, you know, Jenny Finch, you know, making Frank Thomas look like he didn't know how to swing a bat, you know, years ago and stuff like that. I think it's just the transition between the two. But, who's going to go down in that family as the best athlete, you know, and stuff when all is said and done, because they've got three pretty special ones in that family for sure. I'm going to mention the Arweva baseball team here, too. They get a win last night against Exirocorn Kimbleton. Prior to that, they had beaten Esac County. For a team that struggles a lot of times to be able to get enough kids to field the team, and then they didn't start the season until last week.
Yeah.
So almost everybody else had played 4, 5, 6, 7, eight games before Arweva gets their first game of the year in. For them to be sitting right around 500 right now with a couple of wins, tip your cap to Jake Danner, who doesn't have an assistant.
Yeah, it's just
so him. It's just him. And here's a guy that works about, 8,000 to 9,000 hours a week, and for him to also take the time then to still coach. I tip my cap to what he does over there, it's great to see somebody that cares enough. You know, everybody's busy nowadays. We have a lot of people that want to complain about, you know, the jobs that some people are doing, but you know, here's a guy that, you know, I'm serious, that young man, I don't know if he sleeps more than about an hour and a half a day, and yet still takes the time to coach and put the effort into coaching. So I tip my cap to Jake Danner and what they've done over there.
Yeah, and I think we've just been off to a really good start to the to the summer season in general. You know, I think if you look at where we were at last year to this year, and it's night and day's difference, we've got some really competitive teams this year that could make some noise.
Yeah, absolutely, and looking forward to the postseason, but I'm not wanting it to start yet.
No.
I love summer. I know some people at Glidden last night were like, God, it's so hot. And Mason texted me from down in Audubon, and he's like, I'm sweating so bad, it's so hot. And I'm like, man, this is perfect. I love this kind of weather, and stuff. So, I don't end summer too fast. Let's take our time and take it one slow day at a time, and then let's enjoy being able to run around in shorts and a t-shirt and enjoy, you know, this time of the year.
Yeah, but you're a big volleyball guy. I'm surprised you're not ready for volleyball and football to get started.
I love all of the sports, I love summer. I do, and as I get older, the air conditioning just kicked in here. I have it on now at my house, but it was 78, and I had some friends come over last night. You know, Sherry Storyhan, happy belated birthday. Yesterday was Sherry's birthday. That's Jeff Storyhan's wife, of course, if everybody doesn't know. And who doesn't know Jeff and Sherry Storyhan? But they stopped in, and they're like, it's really hot in your house. And I'm like, the air's on. It rained yesterday, and I had to get the humidity out. I haven't shut it off yet. But it said it's 78. That's a really comfortable temperature.
That's crazy to me. That is absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah.
We'll step away. We'll take one more break. We'll back and wrap up the CB Sports Network Rewind Show here on KCIM.
Looking for a steady full-time job with great benefits? Quant Auto Salvage in Carroll is hiring a full-time iron processor. Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. Health insurance, IRA, paid vacation, holidays, and more. Apply in person at Quant Auto Salvage at 18829 Kitty Hawk Avenue in Carroll.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show this morning for you here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. Jeff Blankman, myself, Casey Miners, and Mason Nealon in studio with us, getting ready to wrap up the show. But what comes with a good thing as the season ends, we got a time to announce our Spring Athletes of the Year and everything like that, which was a terrific spring season.
Yeah, and I need to get a message out to all of them and get shirt sizes, but I didn't want to ask him about shirt sizes before we
announced
you know who our spring athletes of the year. Mason, I will let you start, so you can pick which sport and you can announce the girl and the boy athlete of the year for the whichever sport you want to mention.
Well, we'll just start with track. I think that's okay. The easiest for me, and I think there was no doubt with who our boy athlete of the year was, Mr. Trayvon Keeley over at Peyton Sherdan. Kind of self-explanatory. Yep. Sixth in the 100, second in the 200, won the high jump, was top 15 in the long jump, and had a phenomenal...
12th, if I remember right. Yeah.
Had a phenomenal year, just the entire year there. So Trayvon Keeley of Peyton Sherdan, our boys track athlete, and for girls, we went with Wendy Veit of ESAC County, just kind of dominated the entire regular season and then got down to the state meet and kind of surprised some people. Got second in the, 400 hurdles, yep. And then was sixth in the 400 and a part of a couple of different relays in there as well. So Wendy Veit, our girls track athlete of the year.
And both of them well-deserved. I'm going to move on to golf. One school kind of dominated it again this year, but they've been so special with that school for such a long time. Braxton Venami is our boys golfer of the year, and I think a second year in a row, if I remember right, he won it last year. Maverick Schwabe from Kemper won it the year before, but Braxton now has won it 2 years in a row. And then, of course, Addie Biter, second year in a row that Addie's going to be our girls golfer of the year. So congratulations to both of them. Very deserved.
Yeah, and then we got our kind of final sport here with soccer. As we'll start with boys, and it was a tough decision, I'll say that. So there was a lot of people that were considered, but Landon Peterson of Carroll ended up being our boys' athlete of the year for soccer because may not have the best stats, but when you talk to a lot of the Carroll people and you look at kind of his impact on the game for them, he was kind of the best player on the field for the Carroll Tigers. And then for girls' soccer, we kind of ran into a predicament, a good one, where we had two girls on the same team that were almost just as good, if not
all state
just
girls.
As good as yes. they, yeah. as each other. So yep. we ended up going with co-girls soccer players of the year with Sierra Pudence winning it for her, third year in a row,
I think.
And then Riley Massey as well winning it for the first time, and it was just hard to kind of separate those two.
Yeah, both extremely important. I think if you take either one of them off of that team, they're not the same team. So it was hard to differentiate between the two of those. So, yeah, congratulations to all of our spring athletes of the year. I'll get certificates made up, and we'll get a shirt order in to get them a Rewind shirt like Casey's wearing right now. And
yeah, it's a good thing I got my back face towards the camera.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll get them hopefully in here and get a picture of them with their certificate and shirt, you know, here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and then I think it was a terrific season from what we saw from the just talking girls soccer. I know that having conversations with both of you, I'm like, who are you going to go with?
Right.
How do you differentiate between the two, because they mean so much to what that team was, and it was the only option you could go with is go to co.
I think we bounced back and forth between each one of them several times throughout the year, and then at the end of the year, it kind of became that, you know, I think it'll just be better to have it as co because they both are deserving of it. So
yeah, that'll wrap up KCIM Sports Rewind for you on this Tuesday. You can check out the full sports schedule that's available throughout the week for today with baseball and softball going on, as well as for out the rest of the week. And then Jeff's got it up for today, tomorrow, and throughout Saturday for you. So check that out up at sports.1380kcim.com. Check out a podcast of this in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.5.